I hope you've had a great week. I hope that you've seen God move this last week. I hope you've been able to share the gospel with somebody this week. I hope that you've seen the gospel work in your life this week. There's nothing greater than the blessings to understand and see how God works and brings good news through you to other people. It re-energizes the heart. And we're getting into months right now that can easily fall into a time of frustration and depression, right? It's dark, it's cold, you feel kind of isolated in some ways. I implore you during this time to seek God out even more. Allow Him to be the sunshine that you need. Allow Him to be the light that focuses on how you need to shine and be the source of life that you need, right? Allow that this week. I pray that, right? We started a new series called Words to Live By. And I don't know. I think I'm broken. I don't know what it is, but I decided we need to do a Words Not to Live By. All right? And I came up with the top 10. I grew up watching David Letterman. I loved the top 10 thing, right? And then I would have to go to bed after that. I never stayed for the interviews. I don't know about you, but I always enjoyed the top 10. And I decided to do a top 10, now listen, words not to live by, all right? These are things I'm not promoting. I'm saying we shouldn't do. So don't walk out. He said, do this. This is what's wrong with him today. Let's get our hearing here. Words not to live by, all right? Number one, don't set goals. They're overrated. Right? Amen. Oh, no, not a good way to start. I love it. All right. Burn bridges. It's just easier, right? Look both ways before crossing the street. Now, you might want to give that advice to some people. Don't. All right? Whatever you do, give it only 23%. All right? Okay, now listen. Words not to live by. All right? Everybody that's on, words not to live by. All right? Always hold on to a grudge. That's fun. Reading is overrated, right? There we go. I knew I did, Natalie. Okay. Never, ever leave the left lane. That makes people so happy, right? Teaches them patience, slow down. I like living in the left lane. Always tell your wife in the middle of a fight to calm down. Personal experience, don't do it. All right, words not to live by. First thing in the morning, now I got this one from the teens. I spoke with the teens on Wednesday, and they gave me this one. First thing in the morning, as you're getting out of bed, step on a bunch of Legos. Gets you going, right? Sets you in a good mood for the rest of the day, right? All right. Last one. Never finish any project, all right? Get things half-started and just leave them there, right? Makes everybody happy, right? Words not to live by. Now, I gave these lists for a reason. They're ridiculous, right? If you know people that do this, I'm part of this list that is kind of convicting because I've lived this list, you know. I'm still alive after I said calm down, right? But I learned my lesson, right? And I understand. I'm a procrastinator. It's an area in my life that God has continued to work on. But I'll start a project, and then I might see something else that I want to do, like the couch, right? And that project might I'll get to it. Anybody? That's their famous words. Just me? I'll get to it, right? That's the part that I'm telling my wife to calm down to. Ugh, full circle, right? But they're obvious that these are things in which you do not live by. Am I right? Am I right? Like, these are things that you go, well, dumb. Duh. Yeah, you know better. You don't do these things. There, you got, we can end this message, live this way, and I guess it's great, right? Well, Paul in Galatians kind of had this moment with this church. And he had this moment of talking about how not to live, right? And I love the first line that he says in Galatians 5:19 through 21 says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Now, what are you saying right here? Flesh meaning our desire to sin, our desire to do the opposite of what God has created us to do, our desire to do things in which we know that will separate us from God. All right? And then he gives us a laundry list of those things. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I said this, my first inclination was, well, duh. Right? We don't do these things because this is not how God created us to be. But the reality is this, even though it is obvious, we still struggle. Am I right? We still struggle with these things. And we can pinpoint and go, yeah, I would never do that. Yeah, I would never do that. Yeah, oh, witchcraft, not a problem. Not going to be part of that, right? That's easy. Hatred. Discord. Which I put jealousy or gossiping in that, right? That's right there. That's sometimes our pastime. Just who we are sometimes, right? Jealousy. These start to hit home, right? Fits of rage, selfish ambition. Man, wait a minute, this is part of the American dream. I'm supposed to get ahead. I'm supposed to step over people. I'm supposed to worry about Ben Alexander, making sure I'm the best version of Ben Alexander, and that might mean I step on a few people. Yay? Yay? Anybody else? All right. Keep going. Dissensions, that's, you know, it's easy to get involved in dissensions. It just takes a rumor. It just takes a moment to go, I have a little worry. I'm a little frustrated. What do you think? Right? And it can easily start, whatever has been building up, just start taking a brick out. Just start moving it. With any kind of dissension, it comes destruction. Right? And it's almost built in a way that we do it innocently. We care. Factions and envy. It's easy to see what other people's lives are like and kind of want what they have. Am I right? The prototypical family that we can look outside and go, man, everything is right. They have 2.3 kids. I don't know where that 0.3 came from, but it's there. And they have a beautiful home. They both have great jobs, and they just seem to love each other nonstop. It just, whew, man, they got everything. And I wish I had that. Man, it's easy to live in that. And guess what Paul says to the Galatians church? This is an obvious sin. And in this sin, what happens when we partake in it? What happens? We are no longer inheritance of the kingdom of God. And what does that mean? What does it mean to inherit the kingdom of God? It means, first off, this moment I know Jesus Christ, all right? And I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, right? I believe that. And in that moment, my kingdom of my world, my life, the person that sits at the throne of Ben Alexander is no longer Ben Alexander. It's no longer the evils of this world. It's no longer anybody else but Jesus Christ that sits at the throne of my life. And in that, I become a servant for him. And not even one that's like, okay, I'll just do whatever you want. I am an excited servant. I want to know what he wants from me, and I want to be diligent with it. I want to be a follower of his word. I want him to have rule and reign over me. And when that happens, I inherit the kingdom of God. My soul is living with God. But the moment my flesh takes over, the moment I decide to live by flesh, the moment that the obvious of what is not part of God's plan in my life, guess what starts to happen? That kingdom has lost its throne in my life. Ben Alexander and his needs have set back in, right? And I want to explain more about that relationship between me and God. I want to explain more what it looks like for us. And I go back to Habakkuk. He's a prophet in the Old Testament. And he's a prophet that's more not so much telling the future, but telling of lament for his people. Lament with God, going, why, God, are we living like this? Why do we have to deal with this? You ever been there? You ever been in a moment with God, like every decision I feel like we make, everything in which my world is around is just chaos and broken, and every decision is the wrong decision. And Habakkuk at this time, he's a prophet to God's people, the Israelites. And they continue to be saved by God, and then they walk away from God, and then they decide they don't need God, and they're in this moment of going, I don't need God. Right? And Habakkuk is going, why do we keep doing this, God? Just come in and make it right. I want to tell you, there has been people in my life that I'm like, God, just make them love you. Make them make the smart choices. Right? Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever wanted that for somebody? Absolutely. And you know what, God, he listened to that cry. He listened to that mercy. And this is the dangerous thing about being in a relationship with God. He answered it, but not the way he wanted. He brought in the Babylonians, and they came in and took over, and they were worse than what the people of Israelite were doing. They were 10 times worse. And he allowed the Babylonians to come in and take over. Well, that's not how I wanted that to go. God, and then he lamented about that. It was, God, I didn't want that. Why did you answer my prayer this way, right? Now, in all this, and this is frustrating. This is part of being in a walk with God. I want you to read something here. In Habakkuk 2:14, it says this, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of God, the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And there's a word here I want us to focus on is knowledge. That knowledge there means a knowledge that is so intimate. This knowledge is, I know everything about God, and God knows everything about me. That in that knowledge, that there's no longer an embarrassment. It is just me standing before God, and he goes, okay, I see you. I see all the hidden things. I see all the things that you're embarrassed by. I see the things that you want nobody to know. I see them, and I love you. And you embrace that relationship. This is what's awesome, for Habakkuk was in this. He was everything before God because God and his relationship was so real. He allowed God to know everything about him, and therefore, he was able to whine before God. He was able to be frustrated with God. He was able to have those things, and God still loved him, and he knew it. That's the God we serve. And the other part that I love about this is that the Lord, his glory, and glory is everything that is great, everything that's amazing. Glory is more than just a football game and winning. And glory is something that is just, we can't even define because it's the best word is just awesome, amazing, right? And it's the waters that cover the sea. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to the beach quite a bit, right? And I've been out in the waters, and I say, there was a moment as a young man, I stood out on the beach by myself one time, and I just sat there and I watched the sunset, and it was beautiful. It was at the Gulf, and I don't know about you, but the Gulf is just like, I love the Gulf. It's a warm jacuzzi, right? And it just doesn't have that many waves. I love that. I've been over to the Atlantic side, it just beats you up, and it's cold, right? That's not me. Maybe when I was younger, but not now. But I stood there and watched the ocean, and what I noticed is just it feels like it goes forever, and it's this solid slab when you're viewing it from 100 miles away. It's solid. It's just this amazing horizon, and see the sun go down. It's just, it's a painting. It's beautiful, and every sunset is beautiful. I love it, right? Now, getting in the ocean, you start to experience it, and you go, okay, I'm in here, right? And there's been a vacation that me and my family go on, and we went down there, and we were just playing around, and they had red tide, right? You ever experienced red tide? Well, we didn't know they had red tide. It is basically the water is infected, and you don't go in, and we just were itching. And we got out, and we're like, oh, and we had a rash, and it just was not fun. That was not fun. We saw jellyfish, and jellyfish are not fun. They sound amazing. I think they got the worst name. Like jellyfish, growing up, I would have thought, oh, that's fun. You can play with a jellyfish. No. No. Give them another name, like no-no fish. Don't touch fish, right? Jellyfish just doesn't seem intimidating enough, right? And I remember getting in the ocean one time and my wife going, okay, I'm done. I'm out of the ocean because she thought she saw a stingray, right? I don't think it was, but she was done. I'm out. I'm out. It was a stingray, right? You get further into the ocean. Like I used to, as a kid, I would go all the way out to the sandbar to a point where I'm having to tread water, right? As a parent now, I'm like, why did my parents let that happen? Like, you all of a sudden, you're just this little head that bobs up, and you're like, is that them, right? That's where I was, out in the ocean, and I was enjoying it, and what I was doing was just, I would go down to the bottom and just shuffle my feet, and I was looking for sand dollars, right? But I was starting to think about this as an adult male, and the further you get out, the more treacherous the ocean is. And what we don't see under is all the peaks and the valleys of the ocean. And I started thinking about this in the reference of me and God. And the moment that I accept God into my life, this is how his glory waves over my life. All the peaks and valleys is covered with his grace and mercy and covered with his glory. And so the person I was is not seen anymore through God's eyes. And the world, and my hope is that they see his glory just radiating from me because of the knowledge that I have is so intimate with him, right? The knowledge that I have is there, and that knowledge is not something that's up here. It's a knowledge that transforms everything in here. To a point that I live and breathe and die for God. That he's my sole thing that I live for. My sole reason to breathe in the morning. That I get up and the concerns that I have are not the concerns of this world. And I have to continue to go to him and God, I trust you. God, I believe you. God, you've got this. God, please take my worries and threats. The things that I'm concerned about and know that it glorifies you. And I look at the ocean and I go, that's the relationship that I need to have with God. He's covering me up. And what I also know is that, guess what? God calls us out into the deep. Now, I've been on one cruise. I never thought about as I stood on the side of that cruise going, okay, we're out in the middle of nowhere. You see no land. This is the perfect time to jump. As they're going full on speed and thinking, oh, this is just going to be done. I'm just going to float here. This will be a fun activity. But when it comes to our faith with God, he calls us out into the deep to trust him and to rely on him, to believe in him. Right? Now, let's go back real quick. The moments that we are the most tempted by flesh is when we're at the deep and we're exhausted. The moments that we have lived a life that we know we truly believe that God is there, but we are tempted and we go, okay, let's take a break. It's easier just to not do this faith thing anymore and walk away. It's easier to live this life, to be full of hatred, to be full fits of rage, to deal with the sexual immoralities that we deal with. You know, God has called you to more. And this is what I think we need to understand too, is that guess what? God has, you can find it in Galatians 5:13, he says, you are called to be free. You are called to be free. Free from what? Debt? No. Taxes? No. Relationships? No. You know what you're free to call to be from? Sin. And it's not where he goes, okay, you're called to be free from this. You better do it. It's not a parent thing. It's more of this. You're called to be free. It's your choice. It's your choice. You see, in a relationship, the more you understand that you love the significant other is you don't want to force them to love you. Then it's not real love. And as you grow up and you start to realize that, you understand that, and guess what? We live in a world. There are parents that don't love their kids. There are. And as a parent, you go, wait a minute, that's not real. That can't happen. Right? And the moment that I had, and I know I've shared this, but the moment I held Jackson for the first time, it frightened me to death, right? And I remember going, God, I can't do this, but through you I can, right? And this is your boy. And the moment I drop him, please, Lord, protect him, right? We live in that, right, as a parent. But there are parents that live in it. I don't want to be a parent. I don't want to do this. This is my world, right? So, yeah, it is a choice to love my kids. It is a choice to show them the love of God. It is a choice to sacrifice so they can have. Right? The same goes with our relationship with God. It is a choice for us to have a relationship with God. But what Paul tells us in Galatians is our choice comes with consequences if we choose not to. If we choose the flesh, that means we are no longer part of the kingdom of God. And the hard thing is this. Listen, I've talked about grace, and grace is sufficient. Grace is great. Grace is something that is a gift that we don't deserve. It is a gift that's bigger than anything that I have ever done. Hence, what the ocean looks like towards my sins, you don't see him anymore. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I believe that he is my master. I believe those things. And it's been wiped clean. But the moment that I decide, listen, you know what? I'm going to decide that the flesh is more important in this moment, that the desires that I have that are not in tune with God are more important, the things in which I want to, which are obvious to us the more we get to know the God who he is, the knowledge that we have, guess what, the relationship that we guess what happens? That obvious statement becomes more real. We know the moment we take a misstep because we honestly know the relationship we have damaged with God. This is what's cool about God. Listen. Grace is sufficient. God is always willing to hear us ask for forgiveness. God is always willing to redeem us. God is always there to say, listen, we're good. The way we come back is one that we have to have sincerity, one that we have to have that's honest. One that comes back and goes, God, you are real and I messed up and please make this new again. The problem that we have a tendency for a lot of us is this. We love to live in the thought process that, you know, in Romans it says, Paul talked to the Romans about, hey, I'm going to sin so God's glory can be shown more. You hear that? Like, they talked about that, and Paul confronted that and is like, no, this isn't some kind of loophole to get out of what doing what God has called us to be. Right? It says, Romans 20 says, where sin increases, grace is abounded more. Amen, right? Do you hear that? Where sin increases, grace abounded all the more. Praise God, right? In Romans 6, 15 through 18, you are either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I am not here to be harsh. I am here to tell you the good news. I am here to tell you that God is wanting to put his kingdom in your life. He's wanting to change who you are. He's wanting to establish what was originally created for you to be a part of. And it doesn't mean that you won't go through the hardships. It doesn't mean you won't understand what hurt and pain is. The reality is, it knows that when you go through those things, you have a creator that goes through those with you and provides hope in those hopeless moments. But I'm telling you right now, the moment that you acknowledge that I rather have the fleshly desires of my life than have a relationship with God, God didn't abandon you. You abandoned God. And the kingdom that you were a part of, you are no longer a part of. And I'm telling you right now, it is not this God that sits on a throne and goes, well, ha, told him. I want you to know, it's a God that is crushed that you stepped away. It is a God that is hurting for you because he knows the best for you. He knows that you're deciding to live not the way that he is designed. You're using the words that are not healthy for you. You're making choices that are not healthy for you, and he doesn't want that for you. He absolutely wants the best for you. And his best looks so much different from the world's best. I don't know how people get through life. The frustrations, the hurts, the hang-ups, the life disappointments without knowing that God's grace is sufficient. I don't know how they do it. This morning, my desire for you is this, is that you, let me put it this way. He has a desire for you, if you read Romans 2, free from sin. To be free. Right? This morning, I want to ask you, what aren't you free of that you need to allow God to free you from? And I'm not asking you to look around anybody else. I'm not asking you to examine what you're hoping that somebody else will pray that they're free from. What I'm asking is that you honestly a moment and go, God, what do I need to be free from that's causing me not to be part of the kingdom of heaven? Because there's only two kingdoms that we have a choice for, heaven or hell. And our actions matter. Our choices matter. God has already chose you. Are you willing to allow God to free you from the things that keep you from the kingdom of heaven this morning? I'm going to have the band come back up, and they're going to play a song. And during this song, I want to take a moment to ask you, you know, to pray with God, what do I need to be freed from? and the altars are open. This is a time for you to reflect. This is a time to have a relationship with God. And I want you to take this moment and ask that question and maybe allow God to search your life, to allow God to search your heart. And maybe you have lived the words that are not good to live by. You have made choices that are not good. You have made things that you know that you have put yourself back at the throne of your life, and you've taken God out of it, and you feel alone, and you feel like you're frustrated, and you feel like, God, where are you? And he's saying this morning, I'm right here. I'm free you from it. My grace is abundant. Are you ready to be back in the kingdom of heaven? Are you ready to have my kingdom rule your life this morning? What does God need to free you from?
Shine steam, my faith will soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
Stand with me, church. Out of respect to those that are still at the altar this morning as we dismiss, this is what I'm praying for, is that we go encouraged that we are free this morning. Free by the chains of sin that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from. Free knowing that is no longer held accountable, but we desire to live in His kingdom from this point on. And when temptations of the flesh come, we seek God out. That we desire the knowledge of a relationship that He has for us, and that He also puts people around us to help with those temptations. This morning, go knowing that God has freed you from sin. Amen. Really quick, I meant to say this. If you're dealing with health issues, if you're just wanting more prayer, please stick around. I'm going to anoint some people, and if you'd like to be anointed this morning, please stick around and I'll pray for you. All right? Just come on up here.